Hey, Open Mic Podcast listeners. Want to share your opinions, give me feedback, or tell me what you're thinking? If you do, send me a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send me audio that might end up in future episodes of the podcast. They're the latest feature from Anchor, the platform that I use to make this show. Here are some things that I would love to hear from you. What questions do you have for me? What did you think of the episode? What did you think of the topic? Who should I interview next? Make up a theme song. I don't know. Do your best impression of me. I'll see all of your messages and I might add them into a future episode. Anchor makes that part super easy. You can send me a voice message right now from wherever you're at, wherever you're listening. Just tap the link in my show notes and I can't wait to hear from you. Again, thanks for listening to the Open Mic Podcast. Until next time, cheers and be well and enjoy today's episode. Happy Saturday, everybody. It's Brett Allen from the Open Mic Podcast. Welcome in. It's another episode of Behind the Scenes with Eric Hunley from the Unstructured Podcast and myself from the Open Mic Podcast, where we talk about all things podcasting. It's been a very busy day. I've had a total of 4 interviews today. It's been a lot of fun, but I am exhausted. But I definitely am excited about this episode in particular. Well, every episode, but this one's a lot of fun, where I get a chance to talk shop with my good friend and fellow successful podcaster, Eric Hunley. The great thing about this episode is it's quick, fast, in a hurry. No fancy schmancy intros or outros. Just pure, raw, recorded audio, where we talk about everything tip to tail from podcasting. Thank you so much for listening and joining in, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Hey, everybody, it's Brett Allen from the Open Mic Podcast, and it's time for another Behind the Scenes with Eric Hunley. We haven't done a show in a little while. We've both been busy. I popped off the radar for a while, and we're back. Eric, what's up? How are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Doing well. It feels good to hang out with you. It's been a while since we've talked. I think it's probably been, well, at least on air, a month or so.
Sure. We text all the time, though. So
we do, yes. But I've been busy. I've had a lot of changes and sort of took a break from show for a while. I experienced a little bit of a burnout, I think, and just a lot of life changes happened. And I don't want to get into all of that necessarily because I talked a little bit about it on my show. But Eric, what's been up with you?
Just keeping on with the show, I've shifted gears a little bit. I know I talked about it with you before. I've slowed down my output. I actually slowed it down for over a month. I've had one
episode. Once a week now, right?
Yeah. I'm thinking about an alternating pattern of maybe, I don't know yet, and I almost want to feel it out with you, but either one week or one week and then two the following week and one the previous week, you know, some variant like that.
Like a television series.
Possibly.
That's kind of how they do it.
I'm also looking at doing more solo episodes. I kind of feel like I probably should be talking to the audience a bit more. I have a tendency to hide behind the guests and I hate doing the solo bits, but I know that they're very important.
Yeah, I love them. And those have probably been some of my most popular episodes, were the solo shows. And I started doing those again here recently. And then I started a second show where I strictly do solo shows. It's the Confessions of a Single Dad. It's very niched down, but it's just talking about some of the things that I talked about before. And then, of course, the show turned into an interview show. I had somebody say it sounded like a radio show more than a podcast, which I don't know if that's true.
Implies some professionalism. That's good.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. But yeah, I think you do good at the solo shows. So if you decide to do that, what topics do you think you're going to cover?
I'm not sure. I really feel like I need to share what's going on with me, what I'm thinking about in the show, and maybe get a little bit more about how I feel during the interview or why an interview actually counted for me. I don't want to bloat the actual interviews with this information. I kind of want this to be just for me and the fans. So if somebody says, hey, I just want to interview, they can skip it. But if somebody really wants to know you know, what I'm thinking, what's going on with the show, where I'm headed, things like that, and hopefully submit questions that I can answer. That's essentially a kind of a potpourri.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Do you still have a lot of people email you about your show? Do you get emails? I mostly get solicitations to various nefarious things.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, I have a contact form on the website. I'm going to have to figure out ways to get that anti-spamming out of there, because I don't care about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency or Viagra or anything else that's flying my way. Most of my emails are guest pitches.
Oh, I get those too. I get. I told you about the guest pitch I got for a vampire expert. Did I tell you
that? I know. That's my favorite so far.
I'm actually entertaining the idea of having this person come on. He's not an actual vampire hunter, but he believes that vampires are real, and he's written a couple books about them and like real stories of Transylvania and like Dracula.
You know what? If you don't send them my way, it might be interesting enough.
Okay. Actually, I might do that because it doesn't
challenge him. I'm being honest.
Yeah. See, I think you would do better that way than I would, because I would just be more interested in them as a person and just kind of talking about things. That's kind of my approach. And so the whole concept of what they do versus like, is this true or is this just, you know, whatever.
You know, there are challenges with that. And I just had a interview a week or so ago, and it was with somebody who is a medical intuitive.
Oh yeah. How did that go?
Well, it's really interesting because I do believe in the placebo effect completely. I'm mm-hmm. on board. You know, obviously mind over matter. If you think you can get better on something, it can happen, and amazing things happen. Where I start to leave the train is when I hear that during meditation beforehand, you're being trained about how the liver works for the client coming
in. Interesting.
From the spirit talking to you.
Okay.
That's when I start to go, I might have some trouble with credulity here. So what I did in this interview, because I really did want to discuss it, I didn't, let's be honest, I'm skeptical.
Sure. I could understand that.
I was honest about it. So I brought two other people into the interview. And those were Jenny Aguilar, who's fantastic. She's a natural healing person, studies the brain, is very deep. She knows all the alternative medicine and, you know, all of that stuff.
Interesting.
So that, you know, is kind of like a support and a nurturing person. So I'm not just attacking. And I brought on Dave Fries, who is, well, he's a master hypnotist. So mm-hmm. he can definitely get into the mind over matter. He also trained remote viewing with the government. That's the, you know,
compared
to goat stuff in the 80s by the CIA and things like that. So I was like, okay, well, let me bring these people in. It wound up being a fantastic, engaging conversation. So I'm looking forward to that coming out.
Yeah, that does sound very interesting. Huh. Medical intuitive.
Right. I'm definitely skeptical and I'm not convinced.
Of course. So you're skeptical about most things.
I'm not skeptical about you, Brett.
Well, I appreciate that. That's very honest of you. I'm skeptical of me. So that's very cool. So I interviewed Jim Meskimen this morning, which was probably one of the coolest interviews I've ever done. This guy is legit. His mother, and he likes to have it referred to as Mrs. C, is his mom. And we talked about Mrs. Cunningham, Marion Ross, but we didn't mention her name on the show because he didn't want to.
Cool.
Because he wants to keep that separate. And I could kind of tell when I was asking him initially about his background, you know, he kind of looked at me like, okay, are we going to talk about my mom or are we going to talk about me? And I didn't want to talk about his mom at all. That wasn't the point of the interview. But I did talk about his background and growing up in the entertainment industry and how all of that sort of informed his decisions to be an actor. And interestingly enough, he didn't start out in that. He started out as a painter in Spain. That's what he did. And then, you know, he went to New York and sort of started out in voice acting. And now he's wanting to do more on camera work than voiceover work, but he likes voiceover work because he gets paid really well.
Sure.
And he told me, he said that if you want to get paid fast in this business, you've got to do voiceover work. So it was a cool conversation about that. And we talked about a lot of different things and upcoming projects he's working on and just his approach to his art and that sort of thing. It was a really cool. He performed a little bit. He does an amazing, I can't think of his name, Jeff Goldblum impression that is just hilarious. And of course, George W. Bush. And so we're talking about something performing or business side of things. And he does this spot on impression of Gary Vaynerchuk. That's just hilarious. And he was performing for me the whole time. And I was kind of intentionally teeing him up a little bit to talk about things. And he did this George Bush senior or junior impression that was just hilarious. And then Amy Lyle, a writer, a comic writer and a comedian. That was a very interesting conversation. I kind of went at it from a different angle than I do typically for most comics, because she's not really a stand-up. She's a writer who likes to do stand-up,
yes,
which is a big difference. And there's a major delineation in that world. And so I tried to keep it more towards the writing aspect than opposed to like, what do you do to work on your type five or your top 10 and that sort of thing. So
yeah, you're hiding your light under the barrel a little bit. You were in the comic world yourself, weren't you?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, I gave it a try, but I was horribly unsuccessful at it. It just didn't work well for me. Too much pressure. It's too stressful. And it takes a certain personality. And she even mentioned this. She's like, anybody can be funny, but she says she likes the thrill of stand-up. She loves it. And she's just totally into it. And she wants to do more of it. And she's starting to do more things in Atlanta. And I'm going to connect her with another comic.
Joel Myers.
Yes. And also Scott Dickers, who is a comedy writer he wrote The Onion and he's written.
Oh, that's right. I
forgot. Mad TV. And he's written for a lot of different things. And so I'm going to try and make an introduction. And I told her, I said, I don't know that he will or what he won't do. I said, I don't want to oversell it, but he's a nice guy and we have a good relationship. So if anything, you know, Joel will definitely, they're both in Atlanta.
Exactly. I'm sure that at worst you can workshop with him. And
yeah. And he teaches comedy writing classes and stand up. So we talked about her books. I didn't ask her why she wrote the book. And she's like, I get asked that question all the time. But she was thankful that we talked about things that, you know, normally don't get discussed in interviews. Sure. Because she's been on everybody's show. She's been on your show. She's been on Larry's mm-hmm. show. And she's just been on every podcast, you know, that's in our little circle, which is very tight knit.
Sure. She's a great guest, though. I mean,
Amy, she was awesome.
Amy's a treat. I was chatting with Amy before she went on your show this morning.
Yeah, she told me. I think she's going to be the next Tina Fey or, you know, I think she has that kind of potential.
I'm thinking Janine Robinson.
Janine Robinson?
I think that's her name.
Or Garofalo.
No. Robinson. It's not a lower tier, but Amy, I think, is going to make her own path.
Yeah, for sure. I think she's definitely going to do something different. Yeah.
She's doing TV every month already in Atlanta.
Yeah, she invited me to come on her show in Atlanta if I'm ever there. Or she said,
cool.
I don't know if I could even go to Atlanta, but in any case, I think that she was great. I definitely missed the boat on that.
What are you saying? Somebody was bugging you for a few months to have
yes on? Oh. Yes, you know, so yeah. I want to talk about burnout a little bit, and I know Dave Jackson just did that. I'm looking up here. I made these notes. You can't see this listening, but these are crutch words. I made a list of crutch words. So I'm trying to avoid them. So absolutely, so fantastic are my crutch words.
Mine are cool. I have a tendency to say that makes sense. I don't know.
Oh, why. That's another one. That's another one.
We may be picking them up from each other too, because we listen to each other's show.
Yeah. I say them all the time, especially fantastic. I said that a lot in the beginning because I wanted to agree with everything that everybody said. And I would say that is fantastic. And then my friend's like, dude, you don't have to agree with everything that everybody says.
Hey, we all go through that. When we started the show, especially, wow, they're going to be on my show, and you kind of want to become everybody's best friend. And
well, you do, but sometimes, yeah.
I've learned over time that, well, it's not about the guest. It's not about me. It's about the audience. So.
It really is. It really is. And delivering a good, you know, solid product, I would say, is important too. So let's see, I just said it again because I was looking at it. So, dang it. Let's talk about podcaster burnout. Now, I actually experienced this. I really did. I just got to a point where I was just burnt out from stuff, from doing shows, interviews. I found myself, I missed a couple interviews. I canceled one because I had family issues. And for about a month, I almost got to the point where I was done with everything. Like, I wanted to just be done. I wasn't happy anymore with what I was doing. I was getting bored in interviews. It was frustrating. And so I stopped doing it. Now, I finally got to a point where I listened to a couple of my older shows where it was just solo. Mm-hmm. And then I listened to, I think Dave Jackson did a show about burnout and how to avoid it, or what is actual burnout versus just, you know, fading.
Yeah, have Podcasters Roundtable, there was an episode this
fantastic. Yes, yes. So have you experienced burnout before? Like, have you ever gotten to the point where you're just kind of frustrated with things and you, not that you want to quit, but, or maybe you do, I don't know.
Sure. I kind of have been going through some of it at the same time.
Sure, sure.
And my way of handling it is I'm starting to say no.
Okay. So you're just kind of pumping the brakes on guests?
Yes. Because, look, I'm just so thrilled that anybody wants to be on the show.
Exactly.
I have a tendency to say yes, yes, yes. But then I put so much work in researching everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just putting myself in the hole. I can't get my book going. I'm trying, you know, I need to get this book finished.
Mm-hmm.
And it also affects the relationship with my wife. I have a
date. Oh, that's not good.
And I really, it's a matter of just saying, you know what? This isn't fun. I don't have to have three shows a week. I don't have to.
Can't do it anymore.
Right. And really, I want each episode to really stand out. And my production, I feel like it has improved a great deal because of
that. Yes, I would say that's a good valid point.
And ironically, while my overall download numbers are obviously down, every episode number download is way up,
mm-hmm.
30% or so. So it's, I feel like
there's an uptick.
Yes, I feel like it. I am performing better and really trying to get the right guests. And I'm not niching down quite as much as you in terms of your second show, but I am starting to have a bit more focus, and you'll mm-hmm. find that. I think it, you could say that my show's becoming a lot more about communication.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to figure out how I had rolled together persuasion and body language and podcasting and influence. And I
sure
realized that all, and marketing even, it all falls kind of under communication.
It really does. It really does.
And the interview itself is communication.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, going burnout and then trying to do a second show. I don't know, though. I feel like it's cathartic for me in a lot of ways because I can talk about the things that I want to talk about just in a separate audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying not to cross-pollinate both shows and just build a completely different following on that social side versus, I mean, I'll share it on my Facebook anyway, but in regards to like Instagram, just completely setting up something separate and just doing it. They're like 10, 15 minutes tops. I'm not going to interview anybody. I'm not interested in talking to people on that show at all.
Don't rule it out.
Well, I'm not ruling it out, but I don't want to get myself banked into like,
exactly. I mean, in a case, if it's like, you know, if you have some important child psychologist,
oh sure,
something, then, but you know, doing it as a whole to where it's almost all solo, great.
I mean, if some like celebrity who's a single dad reached out and said, hey, I love your show, can I come on? Well, yeah, I would say yes, of course, but I'm not seeking out single dads.
Right.
Because there's another show that already does fatherhood, and so I don't want to replicate that.
Gotcha.
Yes. He does a great job of that. His shows are like 30 minutes. His questions are boom, 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 boom. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to talk about things. I got another interesting piece of feedback from that show too. It's interesting. I didn't really know how to take it. I was kind of offended a little bit. But I was talking to Jim this morning and I asked him how he handled his critics on YouTube and Instagram about his impressions and his work. And he said, honestly, mostly they're people that are just trying to ruin your day and just to ruin your day. But he goes, I just ignore it because you got to learn to ignore the criticism or it's going to eat you alive.
Or you can also look
at or turn it around. He tries to turn it around.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the term Hanlon's razor?
No, I think you may have mentioned it once before though.
I like to try to view the world in that way, that never attribute to malice, which can be explained by stupidity.
Okay.
So for example, if I ever say something or do something that makes you angry or you're upset, just assume I don't know what the hell I'm talking about or what I'm doing and is unintentional.
Especially in a text message.
Oh, yeah, especially there. And some people, you know, you can't get sarcasm, you can't get humor, you can't get nuance in text.
I think you and I have experienced that before. You know, I'm horrible at remembering people's names. And sure. And you're like, this guy, I go, no, whatever the hell his name is. And you're like, sorry. I go, I'm not mad. I suck at remembering people's names, but you can't get that tone in a text.
Oh, sure. Well, and a lot of it I'm chuckling at because you'll transpose one person's first name and the other person's last
name. I'm horrible at it. Horrible. I can't even tell you the name of the last person you had on, but I listened to it and it was a great show.
The last person I had on is somebody you had on. So that probably helps.
Steve a dozen. Says. Oh yeah, Steve. He's great. Yeah. Okay. Two S's. Anyway, I digress.
No, there you go. It's an alliteration. But what I'm saying is that if you interpret the feedback as somebody who's trying to help you and
sure.
maybe is a little inelegant in what they're doing, it's probably easier.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree with that for sure. So. I think that makes sense. It's just learning to. So yeah, I got two low ratings on this new show. I was like, man, like the other show's gotten all great ratings. Then you get into the whole rigmarole of do ratings matter? Does it make a difference? But then I've looked at some really big shows, and they're like in the 4.5s, 4.4s. They've got like 20,000 sure. ratings. So I guess it doesn't really matter what it was. And I actually had one negative review that I fought it and Apple took it down.
Huh.
And yeah, it was crazy how it was like a personal attack.
This is the new show, right?
Yeah, this is the new show. And somebody wrote something really nasty.
Don't take it the wrong way. This is actually encouraging.
So it is, because I'm talking about something that's a little bit controversial. So
polarizing. Polarizing topics will build your audience.
Yes. So
you're
yes,
getting people
that is
who
true.
Are passionate. Now, it's not a positive passion, but it's still passion.
It is.
You're getting a reaction.
It is. So I kind of was like, okay, well, you know, somebody's like, no wonder this guy's single. He sounds like a complete a-hole. He probably yells at his kid, da-da-da-da-da. And so I emailed Apple, and I told them what happened, and they said, well, we don't typically remove these reviews. This is what the whole point of this is. And I right. said, I understand that, but this is almost slander in my opinion. And so after like a week or two, they emailed me back and they took the review down. So they basically reached out to the person who wrote the review and that person never responded. So they took it down and blocked them from being able to. The 3 stars got left up, but the review, the actual, you know, review thing got taken down.
Hmm.
It was interesting.
You know,
but it's humbling sure too at the same time.
The fact that they're coming in though, I mean, reach out, talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Because that there may be positive passion going the other way
mm-hmm.
and you can generate support.
How to deal with criticism.
That's a, you know what? That's a great topic.
I think I'll talk about that today because I'm going to do another episode here in a little while. But no, that's cool. Very cool. So
I mean, it hurts. I mean, I'm not going to pretend otherwise. I'm very thin skinned too.
Oh, me too. I'm horrible.
But I'm trying to just get away from it and ignore it. I mean, I know that I'm not the greatest broadcaster on the planet.
Well, you do good, because that brings me to my next topic. What you just made an announcement yesterday. You're doing something very cool, right?
Yes, I will be actually speaking at the Mid-Atlantic Podcast Conference.
Okay.
And I'm thrilled about this. It's a subject that I feel passionate about. And Super Joe Pardo, got to leave the super in.
Yes, you I'm see, talking to him next week.
Fantastic. He treats super... One thing you'll laugh at is he'll say, "Hey, Super Brett," because he considers super to be like Mr. or Mrs. He wants to bring out the positive in everyone.
That's awesome.
And that's what this conference is about. Part of the reason I'm excited about it is the way he runs it. I think it's an awesome idea.
What does he do different than most conferences like that?
Well, the main thing is everybody's in the same room.
Okay.
So you get a couple hundred people, they're all in the same room. But this is the attendees and speakers.
Okay.
And the cool part about it is, because of that, every speaker gets to see every other speaker's performance, and also every attendee gets to see every talk, and nobody feels left out.
Plus, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's really cool.
I like that idea. That's pretty legit.
Yeah, in normal conferences, you kind of are like, what am I going to do? Like,
yeah, you don't know who or if or what you're going to get to see,
or
unless you sign up for it.
Well, I have multiple friends, for example, who are speaking at the same time at Podcast Movement. So I wind up going to neither session because I don't want to hurt either. You know, it's really difficult. Whereas here, everybody is in there with everything. Also, the... actual sessions are short, so they're 10 minutes or 25 minutes thereabouts.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I love that too, because that moves things along. If you're really enjoying it, you're going to leave wanting more. If it's, let's say you're just not into the subject, well, it's only 10, 20 minutes and there'll be another one. So it's a really smart way to run a conference. And I'm looking.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And this is the fifth year. So, I mean, he's been doing very well with it.
That's very cool. Well, I'm excited to talk to him next week. It'll be a good conversation. And his name has come up several times in other conversations. So I'm interested to chat with him about his new television pilot that he's had greenlit. That should be a lot of fun. And what's going to happen with that too. Did you guys talk about that at all?
Of course. Course.
That's awesome.
We'll have to coordinate so we don't have too much overlap. One thing that he and I talked about, actually, we could talk about it a minute here if you want, is
sure,
podcast bookers.
Oh, interesting.
Well, Joe Pardo came on the scene, or he was already on the scene, but he won the Business Podcast Award in 2017.
Interesting. And I didn't know that.
And then right after he had won it, he said, you know what? I'm going to start charging guests.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've heard about that.
Well, and he makes a really solid case, and we spent some time discussing it.
Yeah. I talked about that with Dave Jackson a little bit when I interviewed him. It came up just for a brief moment.
Exactly. And maybe that's where you first heard the name Super Joe, or.
Yeah. Well, you told me about Joe Pardo.
Oh, okay.
And then I asked Dave about it and just threw it in. And he's all, oh, yeah. Well, this is why he does it.
And you know what? It really makes sense. I have mixed feelings.
About
booking agencies.
Me too.
There are some great guests that have come through.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that anybody's necessarily a bad guest or things. Some people don't match as perfectly as others, but I do feel that some of the incentives may be a little bit weird.
Yeah, I could see that.
You have people who are paying a lot of money, actually, to get booked on different shows. And you have the booking agencies, some of them, who are just kind of doing a spray and pray, just, you know, guests to any podcast. They get paid for every one. And the podcaster themselves, well, we put some time and effort into putting the show together. And, well, gee, we're the only one who's not seeing anything out of it.
Interesting. Yeah, I want to talk about that with him a little bit and just kind of figure that whole idea out. Well, Dave Jackson made a good point. You know, he goes, if somebody comes to me and says, I want to pay $200 to you to have this NASCAR driver on your show, he said, I'm going to say no, because my show does not lend itself to an audience of NASCAR drivers.
Sure.
And that was his thing. He goes, I don't feel one way or the other about it. It's not my thing, but if it wants to be his thing. And then he joked and said, Joe just had another kid, so maybe that's why he's doing it.
That's right. I think that, you know, a weird way, and it depends on who your show is, like, very famously, John Lee Dumas, I think, is $2,400.
I could see that.
Something like that. I forget. Somebody actually posted, you know, what the amount was. It's good money, though. Now, it's easy to criticize, but if there's an actual value to it, and let's say you are at a level like a John Lee Dumas or something, and you now have hundreds of pitches a day, how can you thin that number? Well, money.
Yes.
And money is good in another way for somebody like him.
His show, of course,
is Entrepreneurs on Fire, right?
Yes.
Well, what is one way to prove that you're actually an entrepreneur?
Well, you pony up money.
There you go. So it's kind of a filter. So I don't want to criticize things, you know, completely in every way. Somebody else, actually, Joe, he brought up a Richard Branson. These people went to spend a couple days with Richard Branson. They paid $25,000 a head.
Yes. Somebody else told me about that. I don't know who it was.
Now, that's insane. But is it? If
you get what? No, Steve Sims told me that you get what you pay for.
Right.
And if you, he said that if I charge you $2,000 to coach you, it gets your attention and it adds value on both sides.
Yeah, that is the other side of the paid masterminds and things like that. If you throw a lot of money in it, you damn sure are going to probably show up
and learn.
Yes. Well, it's important to. Yeah, absolutely. That's why there are some arguments about free schools actually being detrimental.
Yeah, I've heard that same argument too. Interesting.
Well, there's, you know, two sides to every story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't completely know which way to fall. And Joe doesn't charge everybody.
No.
If he wants to have somebody on, he'll have them on.
You were on his show, right?
No, I haven't been. Tyson has.
Okay.
And actually, I don't see Joe having me on. I don't know that I'm a fit. I'm not a small business.
Right. And that's who he talks to mostly, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, his market is, you know, built in to have people, you know, pay.
Well, I'm excited to talk to him. Very cool. Anything else that you've got coming up that you want to talk about? Anything special? Or that sounds like you've got a lot.
Well, next week is like a body language week. I plan to release two episodes. The first one, I have Mark Bowden coming back. He's been voted the number one body language guy in the world like 5 years in a row. Don't ask me the organization. But not only am I having him, I'm having his co-author at the same time. I interviewed them both.
Very cool.
She's not interviewed nearly as often. And it was fun talking about the career and how they got to where they are. Then later in the week, I have Scott Rouse, and I don't believe he's been on any podcast before. He's a phenomenal body language guy. He does jury selection, things like
that. Oh, that's very cool.
He's also releasing videos where he'll talk about, well, I don't know. I guess we don't know if Jussie Smollett lied, but he thinks he probably did.
Oh, interesting.
Coming up later on, I told you about the Medical Intuitive, but I also have Derek Gaunt coming up. He has a book that was just released. He works with Chris Voss, who I had on before, and they're top negotiators.
Very cool. Well, I have Amy Lyle this week, and then this episode will drop here today or tomorrow. We'll see how motivated I am.
That'll help, because then it'll be before the shows, I just said.
Yes. No, it'll be out later today or tomorrow or tonight. No, it'll be out. For sure. Well, Eric, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. I really appreciate it. And thanks for everybody who listens and subscribes. You can find Eric's show at
unstructuredpod.com or unstructured on your player of choice.
And mine, theopenmicpodcast.net, or your player choice of will. Eric, thank you, sir, for hanging out with me today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, dude.